I'd like you to take your scriptures this morning and turn, if you will, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2, when you get there, Romans chapter 2. This morning I want to talk about, in the minutes remaining, about commitment. In fact, you'll find that word in the scriptures with 12 different Greek words that use, and we just use one word in our English, and that word is commitment, but it's a very descriptive word. For example, if I were to say I'm committing, it's committing as an act of doing something, and in scripture you'll find a different word for the time that you commit a promise or a pledge. There'll be another word that they'll use in the Greek to describe someone who is committing an activity of some sort. They're beginning to step out and to do that activity. For example, if you're committing yourself to jump off a step, that would be a commitment of some sort. And so there's a different Greek word. It just describes this action that takes place. Sometimes commitment is described as depositing something in someone's life or consigning something to someone. There's another Greek word that you'll find in Scripture, which will, if you are committing something, you are engaging in an activity, and most often that is engaging in a sinful type of activity. In fact, it is a unique way that the Greek presents that word. They have committed such things unto death. That would be a unique way, a different word. And then they would also have another one of just letting go. You're committing yourself to the sea. In other words, you gave up and you just dropped, just like the Titanic is going down, and you gave yourself up to the sea. So they have all different words for commitment. I found it fascinating, 12 words in the Greek language, and the scriptures use that to describe the kind of commitment that God wants from his people. Now, I could talk about our commitment to the Lord, but there's not a Greek word for that. There's another, at least for using commitment, there's another way that he describes that. Or, you know, sometimes we talk about our commitment to the church or to the local church. Well, he doesn't use the word commit in that area either. There's a whole other thing that he uses. Yet 45 times you're going to find the word commit or commitment or committing something to the Lord 45 times in the New Testament. And of those 45 times, some of it's described of men committing sin. Now, I think we understand that, so I'm not going to look at that in our time. I'll just give you one verse in that area. The other times, I found it fascinating how God looks at commitment. Number one, you're going to find there are certain items that God has committed to you. And he takes it very seriously when he has committed certain things to you. Every believer, God has committed something to you. Second way we find it in Scripture is there are certain things that God's children commit back to God. And so you'll find that in the Scriptures, those are unique things, certain things that God gave you, certain things that we are committing back to him. And then there is also this final area where there are certain groups of people Jesus refused to commit certain things to. And however, those that he committed certain things to, he expects something in return. And it's very fascinating how this unfolds as we look in Scripture. And I just had you here in Romans chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 22. This is only one verse I'm going to give this because I think you understand the idea of committing sin. I think if you're here, there has probably been a time in your life where you have sinned. We wouldn't be here other than that. We realize that we're sinners. We're saved by grace. And when the word is used in the context of sin, it's not one of those 12 words. It's always in there within the word. But notice it says this, verse 22. It says, "Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorreth idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? And so you can see, you'll find that term used in Scripture, and it's always, when it's used this way, it's always speaking of a sin, and the sin is always in action. It's the whole individual committing themselves and stepping out and doing that activity. And so we'll see. I don't think we need to go into that, because I'm more interested in the other things that God has committed, because most people today, we understand committing sin, but we don't know what God has committed to us. So with that, I just want you to turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 3. We'll begin there. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. You can find in this passage that our Lord is committing something to the Apostle Paul. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "But hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God and our Savior." The word commit literally means to place or to entrust in this man's hands. And what he entrusted with the Apostle Paul, he trusted within his hands the gospel of Jesus Christ and the preaching of this word, that the world would be able to hear about the great works of Jesus Christ. Think about this. God, who is entrusting within the hands of a man this precious gospel so that other people will know. If he doesn't do this job, people will fail. People will go to hell. People won't be able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and even understand the great work that God has done for us. And yet he placed within the hand, he entrusted, that's the word commit, he entrusted within the hands of the Apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, to be able to spread the good news of the gospel. Can you imagine the weight that the Apostle Paul felt when he understood this commitment, this entrusting? God wasn't going to send angels to send this banner that's going to be going over the world, or angels to go and start speaking to people. He entrusted that within the hands of the Apostle Paul. With that, I want you to just go back just a couple pages to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Apostle Paul says it again, just so you understand. He knew this. He's right. He wrote to Titus, that was one of the young men that was under him, and now he's writing to Timothy, another man that was under him, and he writes this. He says, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." It was committed to him, and he is now beginning to pass it on. He's passing it on to Titus. And Titus, you're going to have to do this. And he's going to be passing on to Timothy. He said, "Timothy, in my stead also, you're going to be carrying out the good news. God has entrusted this to us to give to this world." It's an amazing thing that God would trust people with this amazing gospel message. Because you understand, this is life and death. This is eternal life or eternal separation from God, and that the world needs to hear this great news that God has made a living way, a new and living way to the Holy of Holies, to the very presence of God, and it's through Jesus Christ, and it's to preach this to the world. And he specifically gave this to men to do. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, it's not just Paul is saying that he's receiving this. He's using a little word, "we." And he's talking about the other people that were with him. Silas was one of the people with him. Barnabas was another one. Luke was with him. Timothy traveled with him. He had occasionally later on, he had Titus traveling with him. And so he's using the word "we" to talk about those people that were with him and even much more than that. Notice what he says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now you understand, mankind is separated from God. That's the status of all men that are born into this world. And we are aliens to him. And what the word that he's presenting in the gospel message is that you can be reconciled to God. You can have a relationship with him forever and ever and ever. And he has now entrusted. Notice he uses the word. He's talking, we pray you in Christ that be reconciled to God. And even before that, he goes in verse 19 and he says, unto them hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he has given this marvelous gospel message to many people. God has entrusted into their hands that they'll spread this good news so people can be reconciled to God. Whew. I'm thinking of our day. I mean, how many of you are reading the news and the crazy stuff that's happening in California and all the other places across our country? And I think everybody understands there's an absence of God, or at least the real, true God. Allah is some other God. I want you to understand that is a pagan God. There were 360 pagan gods, and Muhammad picked one, and that's Allah. That is not Jehovah. The one that we worship is the author, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the only God. There is no other God. And he's co-equal, and he sent his son here to die for our sins. And the good news of the gospel message is that men be reconciled to God and have a loving relationship with him. And boy, I'll tell you, if there's anything that the world needs today, we need men and we need women that God has entrusted the word of God. And if you're saved today, he has entrusted the word of God into your hands, just like he did with the Apostle Paul and with Titus and with Timothy and with others, to go and to spread this good news, the word of reconciliation, to this world. And boy, I'll tell you, we need those things today. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. I like this. Verse 18, you can see the word commit again in this verse. Apostle Paul is speaking to this young man who has been following around, who's going to be leader of churches. And in verse 18, it says this, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So another thing that has been committed, not only the gospel message into the hands of Timothy and Titus and to others, eventually down to us, but what's also been committed to, I'm charging you, is what he's saying to Timothy anyways, that you war a good warfare. Because if you're going to be spreading the good news of the gospel, I'll tell you what, there will be a warfare. In fact, there is a warfare that goes on with anybody who's going to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's charging them. This charge I commit unto you. And so he's committing these things unto him. And verse 19, holding faith and the good conscience which some have put aside. And so the idea is he's charging him that he holds the faith up, and along with that would be the word of God. Boy, I'll tell you what, that same charge goes on to us today, that we're upholding the word of God and that we're faithful to the things that he has given to us. That includes praying, chapter 2, verse 1. That includes so many other things. Literally, he's charging Timothy to be faithful. To be faithful, to share the gospel. Same thing with us. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says this. He says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so here are the commitments now. Commitment number one. God has entrusted with the Apostle Paul the good news of the gospel. And he placed it in his hands that he spread this through the Gentile world. And then not only that, Paul took Timothy and he took Titus off to the side. And he invested into these people the good news of the gospel that they spread the same gospel to other places. They went into their churches and people in the churches, he says, you know, God has entrusted you now with the gospel. Go and share this. And so entrusted with the gospel. And then also the command was, you know, be faithful. You know, fight a good warfare because there will be a warfare that we're going to engage in. And so with this gospel message we've been entrusted with, we've also been committed with this charge to be faithful, to stand firm for the Lord Jesus Christ, holding up the gospel, the good news. And then we're to also share this with other men and women and children. And that's what we're to do. It's not just my job. It's not just Pastor Rich's job. This is what he's committed to the church. He's committed this to the believers, that we commit these things to other people. These are the commitments and the charges that we have been given. One more I want you to see. 2 Timothy chapter 1, seen you there. I want you to look at verse 14. He says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, do you understand how he's telling him to keep those charges that have been given? The Holy Spirit is indwelling him. And he says, now keep that by the power of God that's working in you. And as you do that, you can be faithful. You can pass on the gospel. You can do this in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. So some of those 12 words that are there talking about commitment, it's talking about something that God has committed to us, you know, in particular, the gospel message, that we're going to go and we're going to spread this to others. I find it interesting, there are certain things that God's children commit to God. So one is the word. By the way, you've been charged to do some of these things as well. I want you to go, you're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 12. There's another charge in here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, for the which cause I suffer these things. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's saying, listen, I suffer some difficult things spreading this good news of the gospel. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How many believe that God is able to keep you saved until the day that he takes you home? I believe he could do that. And so he's telling him, says, listen, I am going to be faithful with the things that God has entrusted because I have already committed my soul and my life to him. He's able to keep me. They may try to kill me. They may put me in jail, but you know what? I will be faithful. Boy, that's commitment. Same kind of thing. He's trying to encourage that Timothy has this same thing. That's why he says, like in verse 13, then, Timothy, hold fast the forms of sound words that you have heard of me. He said, Timothy, I want you to do the same thing. And he says this to anyone who's going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been committed with this great treasure of the Word of God. We're to fight this good warfare of faith. And along with this, that we should commit ourselves. Lord, I'm committing everything to you. Now, understand, we did that when we got saved, that we committed our lives to him. But here is now we're living as though we have entrusted everything to him. He's talking to a believer, and a believer is living a life that he knows he has yielded everything to the Lord. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. I find it interesting that Peter is writing to the diaspora, the Jewish people that have been spread throughout Asia Minor because of persecution. They've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. they've been ostracized from their community. Not only have they been ostracized from the community, they are trying to fly under the radar of the government because some regions weren't favorable to this new Christianity that was coming up. And so there was commitment, there was problems with their walk because they were suffering. And here in verse 19, notice what it says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. I'll stop right there. These people were suffering, not having jobs sometimes because they could not get employed. They were suffering because the community was persecuting them. So they have problems with that. There was no social welfare system. The social welfare system came from the synagogues generally, and the synagogues were ostracizing them. So if they were unemployed, they were really, really struggling. And he says here in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So he's telling them, listen, even though you may be suffering because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, continue to keep your soul committed to the Lord. He's talking to all the believers that were there, who is faithful and keep on doing well to others that are around you. You know, the Lord, who is the creator of all things, is able to keep you. And that was how the believers lived. They lived, this is what I call a committed life. Understand what they were doing. They were committed to the gospel message that was entrusted to them because they knew this was life. This was reconciliation to God, a real relationship with God. They were committed no matter what. They were willing to fight a faithful warfare, a great warfare, because they knew that their soul had been trusted to God. God entrusted it with them, and they were entrusting their soul back to God because he is everything to them, and they were faithful in giving the word of God. That's commitment. That's what he wants from his people. That's the biblical commitment that I find here within the word of God. Now, just in the few minutes, I want to show you just three quick more passages. I want you to look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 24. This verse early on in my life always struck me. John chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus is performing his miracles and he's presenting the gospel message to other people. And as he's doing this and he's performed all kinds of miracles, people were coming up and they're saying, we want to follow you and we want to be with you. And notice what it says here in verse 24. It says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He wasn't willing to deposit, and the word that he's using here is a very interesting word for depositing and entrusting certain things to them simply because they saw the miracles. These people weren't saved, by the way. Because he knew what was in their hearts. Now, it's different with us. As believers, you know, we've been saved, we've been set apart, and he knows he is willing, trusting certain things to us. With that in mind, I want you to, I said three verses, so trust me, I'll keep it to three. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Right in the middle of verse 48, and he's giving this illustration in this parable. And he says this, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now he's talking about a person that has been given certain things. And he says, for whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. In other words, God says, if I'm going to be committing stuff to you, I'm going to expect much in return. Now, what is he committed to you? He's committed you to the Word of God, the Word of reconciliation. He's committed that to you. And in turn, what we do, we commit our lives and our souls to Him, and we say, Lord, we know that you're going to care for us in everything that we do, no matter what the difficulties. He's entrusted this. And He says, now that much has been entrusted with you, much is going to be required of you. The Lord is going to require many things. Are you willing to do the things that He has entrusted you to do? Sharing the Word of God, giving it to other people, standing firm when we need to stand firm. One last verse, Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Now, he's talking about mammon, or just the things of this world is what he means by that. He says, if therefore ye have not been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, or the things of this world, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The point is this, because it has the word commit in it. But listen, if we're entrusted in the real life setting and you've been entrusted with some money or some funds and you go and squander it, do you think someone's going to come along and give you more? Would you give them more? Well, the Lord won't give you any more. And it's the same idea what happens. God has entrusted so many things and we want more. We want blessings and we want all these things. He says, no, wait a minute. I have already committed to you the word, that you're going to be spreading the word, and I've committed this into your trust. I have placed it alongside for you to pick up and to start sharing with other people. He says, I've committed and given you charges to stand faithful. I've actually committed my Holy Spirit to help you, to give you power to do this. And the simple thing that we find the saints of old, what they were doing, they were committing their soul to the Lord whom they knew was able to keep them no matter what the difficulty was. They understood that. And so God now, with the things that He has deposited into our hands, He expects us to be faithful with these things, especially if we want more of His understanding, more of His blessing, more of His knowledge. Be faithful with those things that God has committed. By the way, this is the commitment. Biblically speaking, when you see this, that God has given to us, and He expects back from us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank You. I thank You that You have richly blessed us in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We have so many things, and You have committed into our hands. Father, help us to be faithful, especially the things, the Word of God that has been committed unto us, to be able to share this with others. Father, this is the good news. This is the reconciliation with You. And Father, I recognize sometimes it's difficult. Help us to be able to stand as good followers that will be faithful, endure even the hardships that may come as a result of being faithful to You, entrusting all that we have, even as believers, entrusting it in Your hands, knowing that You are the Creator, able to care for us in every way. I pray that You'll move and work within our assembly. Today there may be some people that don't know You. They saw the Lord's table. They understand certain elements here. Father, I'm asking that You'll open up their understanding and that they'll see that they're sinners, how desperately they need the reconciliation that only You can give. And the Father, that Your Spirit will lovingly come alongside and point out their need. And they'll turn from their old ways and they'll turn to You, and that You'll give them new life. I pray that You move and speak to them even today. They can do it right where they're seated. And I pray that You'll show that to them. I pray that for the believers here, may we recognize the things that You've committed to us, how precious Your word is, and help us to be faithful with the things that You have given. And that as we're committing everything back to You, that we will be faithful servants to You, and that we'll be willing to say today, as a faithful steward, I will go out with the things You've committed and share the good news to others as well. And we thank You for this now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.